This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's matchups episode. We're going to talk about the defense in this part. And joining me, as always, is my friend and co-host, Fraser Tafar. Fraser, how you doing?
Doing good, Ken. Glad to be back on for another matchup show. Really, the Ravens have another litmus test. It might be one of the last ones of the year until we go against Pittsburgh. This is one of the better teams in NFL. Minnesota's red hot. Got a rookie quarterback. If you want to put him like that, but an unexperienced quarterback who's having to play at a certain level. So we'll see how the Ravens defense fares up as they have been playing well recently.
Yeah, it'd be a big one. Minnesota's been a major disappointment this year in terms of who they are. They've got a couple of weapons on offense, obviously, as we know, at the wide receiver position, but not a particularly productive team. They're 4-4. They've generally lost to the good teams. The big exception was last week when they beat the Lions. So they're coming off their biggest win of the year. But I did want to ask you before we start a little bit about the trade deadline. Are you happy with the move that the Ravens made for Tremont Jones? Or a lot of Ravens fans, it seems like, are very upset that more moves were not made.
Yeah, I think with the value we got for Jones, I think it was a really good trade. I know fans want the big splash and the other trades that teams made, like the two first round picks and a player for Sauce. I think that's all fine and dandy. We saw the Eagles sort of go after it with Jordan Phillips a little bit. Some people criticize us for holding on to picks, but I think we're in a position to value those picks a little bit more because we have a lot of veteran contracts under the cap. So there's no need to go wasting the future on an immediate impact when the Ravens have proven they don't want to close their window just for an immediate move.
Right. And particularly for a season where you're starting out 3-5, they still have to dig themselves out of this hole, make the playoffs. And then you might or might not be sorry that you didn't have the players at that point. Oftentimes you're not sorry at all that you missed out on a player, but this is the case.
I think the unfortunate part is EDC gets a lot of heat, but imagine if that Derrick Henry trade had went through in the 2023 season, because that was in the works. If that trade went through, I don't think we would have a lot of talks if EDC is aggressive or not, because if that fell through, then there's a good chance we'd probably be hoisting the Lombardi Trophy in 2023. So just a couple of things here and there that it's unfortunate that I feel like EDC puts his best forward. I think our value model is probably just a little more stricter than other teams.
Well, and it's proven to be extraordinarily successful in the draft. So it's fair. If you look at the entire history of the Ravens in the league, there's three teams that stand out in the draft, and that's the Packers, the Ravens, and the Steelers. You could slice it a lot of different ways, but you'll always come back to those three teams getting the best value for the picks they actually had. And the Ravens as an organization have lived and died with that. More lived than died. I mean, you know, they've been very successful over the years too. So I'm behind it. I don't want to really see a change in philosophy when the philosophy is working the way it has. And I know this is an area where fans really are kind of spoiled, is that they want more than one championship every dozen years or so. And that's a very good return on things. You know, and they'll say, well, no, we have Lamar Jackson. Well, yeah, you got Lamar Jackson because you were so careful with draft capital. You wouldn't otherwise get Lamar Jackson if you're the Baltimore Ravens, unless you were careful with draft capital. So anyway.
Moving on to this week's show, I have my first defensive mashup, the Ravens safeties versus J.J. McCarthy. He is a rookie quarterback. He does have some moxie to him. He can make things happen with his legs, but overall, if you are able to give him one picture and then back out and show him another picture, he tends to hold the ball down and wait to make sure his guy's open. If the pre-snap read stays the same read after snap, then he usually has success. So I think this is where Malachi getting his first interception last week can prove to be a little more of a confidence booster. He can feel like, hey, I can go out there and really go up and go get it. So I think we could see a little more range from him. They have a big assignment with Justin Jefferson and Addison, one of the better duos in the National Football League. So it's going to be a big task for the safeties to keep the lid on the defense and ask and actually prevent some big plays that can break the game. I think Jettis is going to get his, but we need to be able to maintain it as much as we can. And I think the Ravens usually do have a good plan. If you disregard Chase's numbers, they usually have a good game plan when it comes to handling X receivers in history, whether it be Moss. I mean, you can go down the list, T.O., things like that. So,
Obviously a very big matchup. Would love to see Starks have the kind of game he did before. McCarthy, one of the things that the Know Your Foe guest kind of harped on was how McCarthy lets the ball sail a little bit because he gets uncomfortable with his feet in front of him. So if he can't step into a throw, he'll often sail it. That really screams out that it's a good idea to play loose bracket coverage. So you want your safeties playing a little off the receivers, playing for the interception. And oftentimes that'll give up a completion, but the payback in interceptions is significant when you do that. So the underneath defender has to do his job. He has to drag that route a little further. He has to provide the underneath coverage, the safety. If he's a couple yards off, 3 or 4 yards off being ideal, then he's a good chance to make a play on an overthrown ball. And hopefully the Ravens will have some opportunities of that. They got a nice game script interception in the last game from Starks. There are other two turnovers or takeaways were second man of the ball fumble force outs, which is really more the shots on goal philosophy they've been talking about in terms of generating more takeaways. So good to see them generated both ways. And I want to see some loose bracket play that ends up with, the ball in Stark's hands or the ball in Alohi Gilman's hands. Would love to see, a tip ball at the line of scrimmage that gets converted for a pick this week. But there are lots of opportunities probably to get interceptions against a quarterback like McCarthy. He's sitting there after, only 3 or 4 NFL games now with maybe more than that. But he's got a 73 quarterback rating this year. So it's not like he's going to light the Ravens up. But right. But he probably the expectation would be that he would play better than what he has so far, given the targets he has.
Yeah, and Kevin O'Connell's one of the smarter offensive coordinators in the league, so he's going to be able to scheme up his guys and give McCarthy some easy throws. I think Hamilton is going to be really big in the box, really crowding the situation for McCarthy. He's not, again, the tallest guy, just like Tua, so having big bodies in there in the box is going to be a difference maker, especially if he wants to throw the ball over the middle into those hash marks, those landing points that they have for their offense.
Get your hands up. Get your hands up. I'll move on to my first point, which is Wiggins and Humphrey versus Jefferson and Addison. Enormous matchup here. This is a game. I know they traveled for two games with Wiggins, and then they left him at right corner in the third game against the Dolphins, where he was opposite the X receiver most of the time. Now, I expect that to be the way of it. They do move. Yep. I want to say Stephon Diggs, but it's not Stephon Diggs. It moved around Jefferson, yes. And we ran Jefferson all the time to any of the three places, the slot, the Z, the X. And he could show up anywhere. Same thing with Addison. So I think it's better in a game like this just to have Wiggins controlling the space budget that they have as best he can at that right cornerback position or on the left side of the offense. Humphrey will be on the side that has three receivers. He'll have Hamilton's help. He's not an ideal guy to cover some of the slot danger that the Vikings can provide, but he'll provide physicality. He'll provide run support. He'll provide some ability to push guys around at the line of scrimmage and within those first 5 yards, and hopefully disrupt the timing in a way that it'll be effective for the Ravens defense against McCarthy. So anyway, that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for the stickiness out of Wiggins. That'll help that the space budget not be utilized productively for the Vikings, and more physicality on that offensive right side that we've seen from Hamilton and Humphrey in recent weeks. Awuzie will be in there for dime snaps, but I'm not really expecting him to be a big contributor. The Ravens are really fully committed to a two cornerback system right now with Hamilton playing slot.
Yeah, and I think it's funny, we were talking about it almost since Nate has got to the Ravens. Now he's officially the guy who's going to travel with the main receiver. So it's going to be nice to see good on good. Nate has been able to hold his own in these matchups. He had a little bit of issue with Rome Odunze, but he made the big play in the interception to really wipe out his stats. And then also last week against Waddle, he had some issue, but still able to contain Waddle so he doesn't break the game is also a plus on the check side. So I think Jefferson is going to be his worst matchup to date. We'll see how he does against Chase, but I tend to think Jefferson has a little bit more in his tool bag at the top of the route, selling certain, like if he wants to do a double way, he honestly has a three-way go, especially if he's in the middle of the field. So it's going to be tough for Nate if he has to cover him in a slot too. So I'm excited to see the matchup. I really don't want to see Humphrey one-on-one with Addison, because Addison is a burner as well. He can get over the top, and Humphrey is lacking in that speed. So I'd love to see Chet on him if possible.
They have opportunities. I mean, they have two safeties, and they can deploy them in some way. With Gilman will be an overtop guy on the left side, and we'll see Starks as a double on Jefferson on that side to really keep the lid on it. I'm not sure exactly how we'll see it in terms of the deep play. They want their safeties in terms of run fits as well. So this will be an interesting set of choices for Orr in terms of how he deploys those guys.
Yep. So moving on to my next matchup, I have the Ravens interior defensive lineman versus the Vikings interior offensive lineman. Last week we had a decent push up front, mainly due to the Dolphins not having the best offensive line in the league, really. So I think this week it's going to be a focus on attacking their backup center. At this point in the season,
this Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress, for a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
If we cannot keep Travis Jones healthy, we're in big, big trouble. So I really want to see... Jenkins has been playing to his contract, to his age, up to this. I mean, he's played above expectation. He's been putting all on the line for us. Urban has continued to be a contributor. I think if we can get one more person, whether it be Okoye or they have one more guy on the line that they beat.
Taven Bryan?
Bryan, yeah. He's had some snaps, obviously nothing like the starters we have, but we need someone else to make a flash and really beat up on that center. And then let's see if we can get some stunts, unders and overs going through, and make them really make checks at the line, because they also have a rookie quarterback. So a rookie quarterback and a backup center, that causes opportunities for chaos on the offense. So I think we're able to either double mug up or have one linebacker in the A gap. We can make one-on-one matchups for our interior defensive linemen like Jenkins and Jones. And the other Jones as well, if he's in the mix, getting into the three tech. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, big part of the acquisition of Tremont Jones is he's a little bit like Jahad Ward, as a guy who could be an inside or outside, has more of that body type that you don't normally associate with anything but a 4.3 end. He's like 6'3", 281, good arm length. You don't have that in an outside linebacker, generally speaking. And there will be some question as to whether he can handle the coverage responsibilities at his size, but he should be able to handle the physicality necessary at the line of scrimmage. You know, when you look at the Vikings offensive line, their strength is at tackle with Darrisaw and O'Neal, who are both pretty good players, but and both have been Pro Bowlers, but the inside is very weak. I mean, Will Fries is one at one guard, Donovan Jackson at the other is a rookie. I think Donovan Jackson's a rookie. He's not in his second year now, is he? If I lost track, he's still a rookie. Still a rookie.
Okay.
So anyway, those two guys are you know, are not ideal. And then Blake Brandel, who's been kind of a journeyman, is not a guy who you really want replacing Ryan Kelly, who they brought in specifically to take over that center position. He played pretty well for about three games. And then since then, Brandel's been in and not been tremendously good. He's definitely, they've had more pressure up the middle issues at all three spots than they've had tackles getting beat this year. So it's definitely, the opportunities are in the middle. I think the Ravens will try and attack the middle. I think I would agree with stunts are one possibility, blitzes are another. And I think you definitely, stimulated pressure is a good thing both for this line and for this quarterback. So the line of scrimmage, they'll have a harder time matching depth and getting those handoffs done correctly. If you have simulated pressures followed up by any kind of blitzing, or if you have stunts. So I'm hoping we see a return to more stunts this week.
Yep. And go ahead.
McCarthy has held the ball a lot already. He got sacked five times last week against the Lions. I would expect that, you know, he's a guy who will give you additional sacks by holding the ball too long.
Yep. And I think teams are going into the game with against the Ravens trying to get the ball out quick. So I think it's going to continue to be an emphasis. We're going to get the short end of the stick on that. Cale Williams helped us out a little bit because he's known to hold the ball. So if we can get the same kind of performance in terms of that from JJ McCarthy, then could probably have the same result.
All right. So I'll go to my last one, which is the edge defense for the Ravens and run containment versus the tackles and other blockers, could be tight ends for the Vikings. So the Vikings have an interesting tendency. They have a very strong tendency to run zone when it's only Hockenson in the game. He's their primary tight end. He's played 391 snaps so far this year. But when they put in a second and or a third tight end, they have Jurecek, they had Josh Oliver, who's not healthy right now, and he's apparently not going to play in this game. They have Nick Vinette. So those are guys who, when they come in, there's a really good chance that they're trying to gap run. Now, some of that is because, hey, you're doing it in short yardage and you may have a quarterback sneaks or whatever may be included in that. But there is a tendency there as well. I mean, just you look at it, it's almost always a gap run when those guys are in the game. So they don't use a fullback in a traditional sense. They do sometimes line up a tight end in the backfield. But the Ravens need to figure out their early down outside linebacker snap assignments. Now, what I'm talking about there is their rotational usage of those players. So they're going to have, four outside linebackers, presumably for the game. They could have five, and it really depends on whether they activate David Ajabo this week. I believe it's a decision between Ajabo and Carl Lawson as to who will be activated. And we may be near the end of Ajabo's career in Baltimore.
I believe it. Yeah, it's hasn't been the best. I think it really started with him having that Achilles injury. I think it'd be maybe a different story. He probably wouldn't even fall to this in the second round if he didn't get that Achilles injury at the combine or his pro day. But it's just an unfortunate situation. I think Mike McDonald being here was also an aid in getting him over. So
a negative, as it turned out. But yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So it's tough. But I would like to see if Carl Lawson can bring something different. I mean, he's a veteran. We really do need someone more heavy-handed now that Tavius Robinson is gone. We need someone that could really set the edge aggressively. Not saying that Ojabo can't do that, but he really hasn't shown it to date consistently. He can show flashes, but it's not to the point where it's NFL player on a consistent basis. Go ahead.
Just to continue, they haven't figured out who their early down edges are right now, and the acquisitions didn't really resolve it. Draymond could see time as an early down player, but they've also got him because he gives them a little bit of juice on third down. So they're not going to play him every down. You can't play Green every down. Carl Lawson is a pure situational pass rusher at this point. I don't see him as an early down option. So we may still be talking about a fair amount of uncovered nickel, which they're very successful with this last week. Particularly against the run, I should say, be careful about that you have Urban in there as a third defensive lineman, but only one outside linebacker in the game. And when you do that, and then you bring up either Buchanan or Hamilton on the edge of the formation there to act as a
stand up
edge, yeah, sort of. Yep. Then you can generate a really good run run defense opportunity. Urban's pretty good about maintaining space and denying space, I should say. So he's a good player for that. I kind of think they're going to stick with that. I think there'd be a very strong desire to deactivate Ajabo because they have other people joining the roster, in particular Lawson, who don't play special teams. And so there's just going to be a desire to make sure he's not on the field. And, you know, Draymond Jones isn't a special teams player. Oftentimes outside linebackers, they can be, but they tend to be the younger ones. And I think it'd be very unlikely that both Lawson and Ajabo will be active. And the Ravens have to figure out how they're going to divide snaps on those early downs. I hope we can get to a point where Green is not being overworked on early downs so that he's less productive on passing downs.
Yeah, this outside linebacker room is very disappointing this year. I think it's been a theme since Terrell Suggs that we've been disappointed with the outside linebackers room. We've had some years. 2023 with Owe, you had Clowney. We've had really good pass rushes, but I think we haven't had someone that can take the top off the defense, but make the offensive line scared that we have to make sure this guy's covered. Like, we don't have a Myles Garrett. We don't have
get that player? How do you get Myles Garrett? How do you get Micah Parsons? You gotta draft him. You can't trade for him because and how do you draft that player if you're the Baltimore Ravens?
You got to give something up to move up.
No. You can't move up into the top five or whatever to draft a Myles Garrett or a Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons, might have been 8, 9, 10, wherever he was drafted. Yeah. Once in a while, one will fall into your lap, like through the Mike Green situation, right? That we hope is it, or through the David Ajabo situation, where he's a distressed property for other reasons. But I don't think it's fair to say that the Ravens haven't been good about drafting outside linebackers. When they've had top picks, they've aggressively gone after them. They went after Peter Boulware with the fourth overall pick. They went after Terrell Suggs with the 10th overall pick.
I'm saying the overall room since Suggs has left. I don't think we've been satisfied with it.
Yeah, I mean, Matthew Judon, Tyus Bowser, I was very satisfied with it in those days. And Jadeveon Clowney and KVN, I've been satisfied with. It's just a matter of
but I feel like we've always had the same conversation: pass rush, pass rush, pass rush.
Well, the last 2 years they've been second in the National League. Well, they led the league in sacks, didn't they? Two in 23, and then they were second last year. It's really hard for me to get upset about it.
I think the numbers are good. I think it's the situational opportunities that we need these sacks. I think they're great when they happen in the first, second quarter, but I think we need these third, fourth quarter sacks so we feel the difference in these sacks, I think. Because with Terrell, he would come off. I mean, the pass rush that we used to generate used to be clutch pass rush, not just game script pass rush, if that makes sense.
I don't know if I agree with the bulk of that. So I'll say that the Ravens pass rush has been dramatically underrated the last 2 years in terms of what it was. And yeah, they don't have the personnel anymore to do it this year, and that really sucks. It really sucks. They traded away Owe right before they lost Hayes Robinson. But this pass rush would be a lot. If it was Owe, Jones, Green, and Van Noy, I mean, we wouldn't have any questions about the outside linebacker room anymore. We'd be satisfied with it, and we'd understand that, you know, the Ravens don't get to have one top pass rusher unless they mortgage everything to go get one.
Very fair.
All right. All right, always a pleasure doing the show with this, Frazier. And I appreciate these little dust-ups when we have them and we want to talk about a topic at some depth. Tell folks where they can get in touch with you and talk football online.
You guys can reach me at Twitter/X at F_Rave8. That's F_Rave8.
All right. Other folks out there, thanks so much for listening. As always, please like and subscribe if you're on YouTube. If you have time, give us a 5-star, 50-word review on your favorite podcast platform. And as always, tune in for our regular content. For Frazier Tapar, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye. We'll talk to you next week on Matchups.